From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum this morning in our next hour, Zeo Ziegler's tribal pattern murals of giant humans, tigers, and dragons have been splashed across many different surfaces, from the sides of buildings in the Tenderloin to the offices of Facebook. One journalist likened the murals to tattooing the skin of San Francisco with contemporary urban cave art. Ziegler joins us to talk about his latest projects, including his new book, Collaborate with Zeo. Then at 10:30, Sarah Short knows firsthand what it's like to live in a prison cell. She spent 410 days in isolation in an Iranian prison after she and two fellow Americans were detained while hiking in 2009. She'll join us to talk about her new play, The Box, and the effects of solitary confinement. And that's next, after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this morning's Forum program. San Francisco-based artist Zeo Ziegler is a muralist and painter who has had exhibits of his work from Tokyo to London and who has painted murals globally, including here in San Francisco. His murals can be found in the Mission District, downtown, and in the Outer Sunset. He's also been called the artist for tech's elite, having produced murals for Facebook, Uber, Lyft, Medium, and Google. And he recently published a book called Collaborate with Zeo, the artist sketchpad co-authored and colored by you. Joins us in studio for this opening second hour segment. Good to have you with us. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, let's talk about what you do. It's original. It's intuitive artistically, and in many ways, it's really quite original. You say emotion flows from your hand. What do you mean by that?
I think the sort of catalyst for the work comes from it's my way of processing things. So if I have an experience or a series of them, what happens is it metamorphizes into a series of figures on paper, and that's how I sort of process emotion or thought and understand it.
But you also say your body's involved in this.
Yeah, I think the body's very involved. Painting murals is a very physical and performative sort of experience where you're up on a lift and you're trusting your hand and you're trying not to second guess yourself. But in a studio experience, it's more intimate, so you have the ability to buff over things and start again. But yeah, the gesture of the body is very important.
And so is your unconscious, obviously, when you look at your work. But let's get into influences, because you cite things like hieroglyphics and graffiti. And I'm thinking about Norman Mailer, who did a whole book on graffiti as art. But I see a lot of Aztec and Mayan and African influences in your work. I mean, it's a really mythical kind of archetypical collage type of thing with all the dragons and everything else. It's Asian as well.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I guess I grew up in a house filled with a lot of artifacts from all over the world. You know, little trinkets from Bali and masks from Africa. So I came to the later stage of my education, and I was not finding the right way to draw yet. I didn't know how to really render and what my style was. And so there was a late night in the studio about 3 o'clock in the morning where I had a series of realistic paintings. And I just said, this is not me. I threw them into the dumpster, and in a rush, just started to paint in a very fluid way. And it sort of happened where I was in an Egyptology class the week before, and I had seen the sun represented as a figure arching over the top, and the earth represented as a figure laying on the ground. And it was a very hieratic, simple but elegant way to render something so complex. And I thought, that's how I want to draw. And so all of my influences poured in at once, and it became this. I knew how to draw anything I wanted from there on. It wasn't accurate, but it was my way of rendering.
And you've always had to do it your way. That's one thing I've been impressed about. I mean, in fact, do you have an experience with applying to Yale, to the art school at Yale, and
that didn't
kind of told
so well.
Them I got to do it my way?
Well,
words to that effect?
I have a great regard for art education. I'm a stubborn guy, and I think I treasure being naive in some aspects about art making, though, because it makes for so much excitement around the initial process and the work, where you're not burdened by theory, and rather just by, you're sort of guided by instinct.
You're also guided a lot by literature, which is something else that impresses me about you. I mean, you said at one point, I think you said you wanted to paint like DeLillo writes, which is pretty ambitious and notable in itself. But you also listen to audiobooks while you paint?
Yes. I've found myself, you know, your mind can wander tremendously in the studio. So what I found is an amazing axiom for certain paintings is bringing in books that I'm subconsciously picking. And, you know, we have certain resonance with certain texts at different parts in our lives. So I'll read in a vein that will grow organically around the work itself. And I was describing to someone the other day that there's no direct correlation sometimes between the book and the picture that I'm working on. But I think there's the subtext or the themes sometimes carry over and will influence each other in turn.
We're talking with Zeo Ziegler, who's here with us in studio, an artist whose new book is called Collaborate with Zeo, the Artist's Sketchpad, co-authored and colored by you. And by the way, he'll be speaking July 28th at noon at Depot Bookstore in Mill Valley. He's also helped create artwork for this year's SF Jazz Festival, and you can see photos of his work on our website, kqed.org/forum. So let's talk about this book that you've done, because I was reading about collaborative art, and I was thinking, this is a notion, I guess, that somehow we can become involved in a collaboration with the artist and create the work. And then I realized this is a coloring book. I mean, you're actually literally getting people to put colors in the way they want to put colors in?
It's a good question. The initial impulse to make the book came from this idea that when I was out of school, I grew up tracing things as a young kid, tracing comic books, and that's how I learned how to draw in the first place. And I was emailing artists when I was maybe in fifth grade, artists I admired, and sometimes they'd write back and give me tips on my work. And it was this connection that I could have with the artist through email was incredible. So I sort of wanted to scale that experience, and I think a lot of what I hope to do is not just exhibit in gallery spaces, but tier my work so it can be accessible in many different regards. So I was drawing in a cafe, and I left the drawing behind by mistake. I came back, and someone was tentatively bent over the table with her hands in the drawing, and I said, "Oh, I left that here." And they said, "Oh, well, can I have it?" I said, "Sure." And I started to leave cafe drawings all over the place, and I found that I often wouldn't sign them. And I thought I should do this on a broader scale, but for kids, for adults, because there's so much to be said by discovering something not only in yourself but in another artist's work. And if that artist's work can serve as a catalyst for what's inside you already, the sort of a priori, it's a really interesting journey.
It is also something that makes the person who decides, and it's a little bit of a magnet, you know, you want to color these pictures in your own way, makes them a collaborator in terms of creating a work. I mean, it comes from you, obviously. By the way, what audiobooks are you listening to lately? Or?
Well, I've been listening actually to more history books on the Crusades, you know, apropos of maybe what's going on right now. But I think I came off reading The Recognitions by William Gaddis, which blew my mind, and then J.R. And then I jumped into some Neal Stephenson, which, I mean, there's a very interesting trajectory to what I choose to read. But it will be sometimes recommendations from friends or books I stumble across or things I had abandoned before. And then, of course, I'm always trying to write. I've been trying to put a catalog together for my upcoming show and write a short story for it. And so I'm trying to make the short story not a pastiche of my favorite authors, but rather something that informs the paintings and vice versa.
You want to write original fiction, basically, but something that's symbiotic or with the work that you're producing. I understand that. And you've said that part of the reason behind this book you've done is it's hard to understand your own work. To really understand yourself through your own work, yeah?
Yeah, I think, you know, I was explaining to my girlfriend last night that I think we live in an era without context. Like images are reposted and removed so quickly from their origins and from their authors that if modernism was sort of about a change in form, and postmodernism was about the dialogue with that change in form, then I think the next proper extension of that would be putting the concept in the hand of the viewers and allowing the work to sort of become mimetic by their interpretation. I guess a good proxy for it would be if you've ever seen the movie A God, like The Gods Must Be Crazy, where the Coke bottle falls into the middle of nowhere. I think that's the sort of journey I'd like to have for my work too, where it is its utility is 90% the environment that it ends up within, and it's the projections from that environment that make it what it is. So,
if you just joined us, we're talking with San Francisco-based artist Zio Ziegler. He's a muralist. He's also a painter, and he obviously has a very distinct aesthetic of his own, and it combines with a lot of literary stuff. And I'm kind of interested in what you, our listeners, have to say about this, as well as some ideas. We may have some painters and muralists here who want to weigh in, but also just in general, the idea that art is a collaborative process, which for a long time I have believed and continue to believe, somewhat with more writers and artists than others, obviously. But if you would like to join us, I invite you to do that now. Questions or comments for Zio Ziegler, you can give us a call at our toll-free number. It's 866-733-6786. Again, that number to call, 866-733-6786. You can also email your questions or comments to forum@kqed.org or post them right onto our website, kqed.org/forum, or tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. With the public murals that you've done, you say you work with the urban culture, but you disrupt it too. What do you mean by disrupting it?
Oh, I'm not sure where that quote's from. I think the best and most valuable experiences I've had painting murals is where you get to go to an entirely new environment, and you sort of you're sensing the zeitgeist there, and you're working on a wall. And I don't make any preparatory sketches. I sort of just jump into the work itself. So the work and the zeitgeist end up being quite connected because I'm just sourcing the environment of the city. I'm sourcing the conversations I've heard. And in my work, I try to create, I guess, new allegory. So if there's a current theme running through the city or a story I've heard many times, I guess I try to elevate that story or those themes into something that can hopefully last and for 10 years, and people can project and load the open source allegory with their meaning.
It's more than allegory, though. I mean, you said social matters are important to you, so you try to bring that in, or that comes in anyway, right?
I think it comes in. You can't really, if you're open and you enter an environment, it's hard to close your eyes to what's happening in a place.
The scale of your work, it makes me think of Francis Bacon, some of the things that you've done, and you're a very prolific artist. I mean, you must be working all the time pretty much, huh?
It's pretty obsessive, yeah.
Yeah, I think it has to be obsessive. And you're dyslexic too?
It's hard for me to process words on paper sometimes, and I mix things up. But I've found that dyslexia is an incredible gift because you get to see things from a unique perspective. And I know there's now books being generated about the gift of dyslexia and learning disability, but
Malcolm Gladwell's book is all about and part of it. Yeah,
I haven't read that one recently, but I did like Outliers and The Past or Tipping Point as well.
Well, we're going to find out what our listeners have to say. And by the way, what do you think about the idea of, because this is what Zio's work is a lot about, collaborating with artists and making the work through the collaborative art, decoding it. And I mean, you could say that about, to some degree, about all art, but it's certainly behind his newest work, which is Collaborate with Zio. And let's collaborate with a caller here. Laura is joining us from Mill Valley. Laura, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to comment how much I love the painting that you did near the sophomore sphere. I drive by that painting every day.
Oh, thank you.
It makes my life better. And it's great to get to know you more on the air. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Laura.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, what kind of response do you get locally? Because you've got some murals here, well, as I said in the introduction, not only out on the streets, but also down in Silicon Valley. You become kind of a go-to muralist for many of these big companies.
Well, I think that, Google and SEO and the way that it presents information can be misleading sometimes. I think the majority of my practice is often either public or in the studio, and now really sculpture driven. But yeah, I mean, I have in the beginning of my career, I was lucky enough to, get commissions with many other artists when they were redoing the Facebook headquarters and things like that.
So doing any illegal mural painting?
Not really. I think initially, hopefully the window of prosecution is closed here, but
statute of limitations.
Exactly. Yeah. We used to go out and find temporary surfaces when I was out of school. I mean, old weathered wooden walls throughout the city. We actually found one outside of ACT, and we thought there's no harm. This is covered in graffiti and covered in wheat paste. If we just roll out some white, white figure here and create an installation for the day. And we found that the institutions were thanking us, and people were actually removing the panels and taking them into their own homes. But that was a short-lived practice. And I think so much about the outreach and engagement of the work, like you said, the collaborative aspects are really important to me. And this sort of brings me into, you know, the next idea. When I was painting in the public, people said, well, you should come teach our students, you know, how to paint, to friends and I that were painting out there. So I had this idea. I'm not gonna personally execute it because I'm not a logistics guy, but I thought, hey, it would be wonderful if there was a Teach for America for artists, where you had artists that were just out of school looking for opportunities to exhibit their work, and an older generation of artists that were more successful that could fund it with, you know, maybe auctions of their paintings, and therefore you have a, you know, fully cyclical environment where you're helping artists and nurturing.
Well, good idea. What happened to it?
I think it sort of just manifested itself in a more, you know, one-to-one way, where I got to the chance to teach in some schools and talk with kids. And I found that validation was the biggest driving force in keeping anyone making something. There's this, when I first went into the school I talked in, I said, well, who's an artist here hoping to get engagement? None of them raised their hands. And then I said, okay, well, who draws? And then everyone raised their hands. And I think there's this strange dichotomy between, you know, the loaded term of like calling oneself an artist and making things. It's something I wanted to explore more.
And you think San Francisco is going to become maybe a capital of the art world over the next decade?
It's hard to say. I'm not, you know.
You're not
I'm
a
not
prophet.
Qualified, yeah.
No, I understand that. I think you've expressed those kind of sentiments, though, from time to time, that you think things are really happening here. And some are feeling that the cost of housing is driving more artists out as opposed to more artists coming in.
Yeah, and I would agree with that statement. I guess my initial hope was that it was once said that if Italy had not been divided in the Renaissance, it would have never taken place. And so I thought maybe the competitive forces behind some of these new entities in the city would hope to leave legacy, and in so stimulate different verticals in the arts and create what was akin to happening in, you know, the high Renaissance in Florence.
You see some of these high-tech people or people in the tech world, the corporate tech world, as being like Renaissance-type patrons potentially because they're not always associated with art, I mean distinctly with art.
You know, I don't know, and I'm not qualified to say. I do think that art is an amazing – it's an amazing journey once you start to read about it and experience it. I think we have a wall in our apartment of artists that I, you know, trade with all around the world, and it's the first thing that anyone will engage with when they come into my home, and they say, "Oh, where's this artist from?" And I say, "Oh, this guy's from Argentina, and he slept on my couch for 3 months, and this guy's from, you know, this guy's from New York," and it becomes this storytelling that doesn't necessarily need context always. Like, I'm pretty sure I could put some of those sketches or some of those drawings in any environment and they would live, whereas I'm not certain about the legacy that's, you know, the digital legacy of things.
Have you taken in a few of these muralists who are working on their own without sanction or without...
I think it's a very sanctioned field now. There's sort of mural projects all around the world. Like last month, we were invited to go to Kiev, Ukraine, where they're transforming a lot of the old 20-story slum buildings into these incredible installations. So they've invited 200 artists there over the course of the next 2 years. And of course, you sleep on people's couches and you eat borscht and you have a fantastic time, but you engage with the local community, you make a work of art, and then you move on to another city. And there's a lot of friends of mine that I've met that spend their years really traveling and creating these installations, and for almost no profit. They just have the same paint stained shoes and shorts and an incredible bag of stories.
If you've just joined us, we're talking with San Francisco based artist Zio Ziegler. He's a muralist and a painter, and has had exhibits all over the world, painted murals globally, including here in San Francisco. And the murals can be found in the Mission District downtown and in the Outer Sunset. And you can actually look at some of his work on our website by going to kqed.org/forum. And he's the author of a book called Collaborate with Zio, The Artist Sketchpad, co-authored and colored by you. You got something going on now with... or what's the legal course of this with Target ripping off your work?
I don't know. There's a lot of appropriation these days, but that was sort of back to my earlier point about a lack of context in certain images. Like, I found that if you're not making work that's elastic, or if I'm not making work that's elastic and can't be shared and contorted by its, you know, by the web, it's often hard to interesting to see where these images end up, sometimes in, you know, not the best places where it's appropriated. But often it can end up as a printout on someone's wall, and they don't know who painted it. And it becomes this network of people informing each other and this open source ability to project into work. But I think where it really started was I started printing T-shirts in middle school, or, you know, late middle school, for a place called Proof Lab in Mo Valley. And I found that if I was giving the T-shirts out to different friends in different cities, they'd bump into each other in the airport, and there was a certain resonance. They didn't know that they both, you know, knew me, but that there was friendships formed by just those markers. And I think paintings or art objects.
Art bringing people together.
Exactly. That's the real goal here.
And you use what? Mostly acrylic and oil and house paint, some combinations of those?
Yeah. On the walls that I paint, it's predominantly spray paint and house paint. And in the studio, it's really transformed into a more antiquated process of using like many, many glazes of oil and paintings that take months. But my new fascination is sculpture, because I know so little about it that it was a great field to jump into.
There's a whole kind of learning curve for you there, right? Kind of fascinating learning curve. Wondering though, something you said about the coloring book that you've got out now, that you hope, you said earlier that you're very in favor of art education, you support and like art education, but then the coloring book is supposed to supplant maybe art education on some level?
Oh, I hope not. I think art education, where it can be found, is invaluable. But I do think that this was my attempt, and this was a book I was making by myself initially. It was just a collection of writings I had often on my often written on paper or my phone, and just ideas and quotes that had inspired me, and drawings from airplanes or trains where I'd been in transit. And the goal was to create something that could engage and really provide me with a feedback loop that was unexpected. I wanted new ideas coming in rather than telling an over-prescribing meaning to my work in just an outward way.
And I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
Please finish what you were saying.
Oh, I just felt like when you have a gallery exhibition or people want to come in and understand what your work is about, and I think that's valuable. But the thing I was most excited about was when I would give a sketch, like I told you, in a restaurant, or leave it for a random person, hearing their interpretations of my work was something that fueled it even more so.
And you're doing something with SF Jazz?
I did.
When is that?
Yes. Oh, it was just for the SF Jazz Festival. So it was an awesome opportunity, and I was very thankful.
Oh, you did it?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I think we're up to date with you. Good luck. And onward and upward. Good to have you with us. Appreciate
Thank you very
you
much.
By.
Thank you so much.
Zio Ziglar's new work is called Collaborate with Zio, the Artist Sketchpad, co-authored and colored by you. And we're going to talk to Sarah Short in the segment coming up on Forum. She's got a new play out at Z Space Theater. It's called The Box. Stay tuned for that. I'm Michael Krasny.